I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome to a hump day edition of Pony and Muller. We are on the road, our home away from home, Studio B, Bowser Chevy, Mulsey sitting across from me. Donnie's back in Green Tree, no longer in Vegas. We'll get a recap of his bunch of Steelers fans, and he saw quite possibly the last game. Justin Fields will start for the Steelers at quarterback. We don't have news yet on what happened at practice today. That will be coming down in the next hour or so, so stay tuned for a discussion based on that. I will open things up here on this Wednesday, as we do have a big game against the Jets. Davante Adams will play against the Steelers. We can table conversation about the matchup to later in the show once we have clarity on quarterback, and we'll obviously talk about a lot of it as we get closer to the game on Sunday night. I would like to start with a big picture thing, though. And this is just how I'm feeling, and I'm curious to hear if you, Mulsey, and if you, Donnie, have the same thought that I do today. With Russell Wilson going back in and Tomlin declaring basically that what Justin Fields has done is good, but it's not good enough. It's not the standard he has set. The standard is the standard. Justin Fields is not doing enough to deliver and get the Steelers to what he wants them to be or where he wants them to go, whatever. I feel like the Steelers are back in quarterback purgatory today. Fields is getting benched. That's telling me that they probably don't think he's the answer. I felt like we had conversations off of earlier games this season, like the Chargers win, that made a lot of Steelers fans feel like he might be or he was the answer. Even the Colts game did that to some extent. It took the sting out of the loss. Hey, we got beat. But did you see the plays Justin Fields made in the fourth quarter? With the head coach and with the team, that's all evaporated because the guy's going to the bench for a 35-year-old quarterback who is 8-9 in his last 17 starts. We get on Tomlin, and you did a very good job of bringing this point up, Chris. Tomlin has a 7-year drought without a playoff win. In those same 7 years, Russell Wilson has one playoff victory. So he hasn't exactly set the world on fire. So the question becomes, why I'm saying purgatory, yeah, we still have a lot of football left this year. But I don't think we're closer to getting our answer, a good answer, on, yes, we brought both of these guys in. We had two lottery tickets. And it feels like one of those lottery tickets is going to cash, or one of the bets Donnie made in Vegas is going to cash on one of these guys. And so if that's how I'm feeling, well, then where do we go? Where's the answer? Where's the solution? What do you do in 2025? You're going to be too good. This team is 4-2 and tied for first place. They're going to be too good to draft a quarterback in the first round. So Dion's kid, which a lot of Steelers fans don't want that to begin with, but Dion and Shedeur Sanders, the kid at Georgia, the guy at Miami who's had a huge year, Cam Ward, those guys will be long gone by the time the Steelers are on the clock. We go the free agent route again. We were hoping that the Vikings go with J.J. McCarthy next year, and we sign Sam Darnold, and he can work his magic here.
Dak Prescott was supposed to be a hope for the Steelers, but he signed back in Dallas.
We kick the tires on Daniel Jones and hope we can reclamation project him. Geno Smith, I mean, it's...
I'd object to one word you've used so far, or one phrase. You said they're back in quarterback purgatory. When have they left? When did they get out of it?
Well, you wanted to give Justin Fields $30 million a year. So at some point this year, you thought that they had found their guy.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, though, they internally, they have tried since Roethlisberger hung him up, and even hanging on at the end of Ben's career, he was not the same player that he was in his prime or even really close to it. But they have tried now for years to fill the position in uninspired ways on two fronts here. One, they've never gone after a quarterback in a draft class with a high pick. What they've done is, and I don't consider Kenny where he was picked to be a high quarterback selection, especially in an historically weak draft class at the position. Where Brock Purdy appears to be the only useful thing that's come out of that. They went and got somebody else's former number two pick, the Bears, and tried to bring him in here.
Mitch
Trubisky. While Kenny was his understudy, they still had Mason Rudolph lingering around the building like a stale fart at that time. Then, once Trubisky lost the job convincingly, it was Pickett's. Never had the talent or the juice to be a franchise quarterback. You end up with Mason Rudolph playing in the playoffs. What is your offseason plan? Let's take Russell Wilson. Let's court Russell Wilson, along with maybe the Giants doing the same thing, but nobody else really interested. No other of the 29 teams that could have been interested really expressing a lot of interest in this player who hasn't won a playoff game in a very long time, whose team just kicked him out on the curb because they'd rather pay him to go away than have him on their roster. Let's bring him in. Oh, the Bears just got the number one overall pick in the draft. They're going to be done with Justin Fields, who gave their fans fits for 3 years. Let's bring him in. They have gone low value, like low risk, probably medium, maybe medium high reward, specifically in the case of Fields here. But they haven't treated the position, Pony, like it's a priority for them. They haven't. If they really had, do you know what they would have done? They would have looked at Minka, that trade they made in 2019, and instead of saying we're going to bring him in and trade a first-round pick, a heretofore unheard-of decision, we're going to sink to the bottom. Our quarterback tore his arm to shreds. We are going to just try to be bad this year. Justin Herbert's in that draft. Tua's in that draft. You know, two guys, especially Herbert, I think, who you could love to build a franchise around physically speaking. They didn't do that. They were addicted to, we'll shore up our defense with a player Mike loved, we'll trade for him. He's been largely very good, but they have never treated the position like it is the A1 priority.
Okay, so that speaks to, like, we can relitigate things that happened 5 years ago as part of this if you want, but that doesn't change. Like, my issue right now is I thought you could have some optimism for both of these quarterbacks before the season started, and they have sucked my optimism away on Fields by benching him. I find it unrealistic that he's going to start, get benched, go back in, and he's going to play well enough that it makes them feel and makes us feel like he's the guy we can count on for years to come. I also find it unrealistic that Russell Wilson is going to play so well that it's going to make me feel like it's a good idea to do business with him beyond this year. What would he have to do? He'd have to
play like a borderline MVP.
Play like you put the bar that high? I don't put it high.
He'd have to play at an extreme, like closer to 2017, 2018, 2019 Russ.
I think he'd have to play like a top 10 or top 15 quarterback. He'd have to clearly be an upper echelon above average quarterback. And get the Steelers back to the playoffs and put up points in the playoffs and probably win a playoff game. And even then, you want to give him $100 million? Because that's what Baker Mayfield got for one good year in Tampa. He got 3 years, 100.
He's also a lot younger than Russell Wilson.
Right.
But Russell Wilson would want a lot of money because
he'd
say, I'm Russell Wilson.
So would anybody feel good about that? I mean, I
don't think that they feel like they're out on Fields specifically because, again, I just think they look at it as, hey, we view this position as such a non-priority, even though we can say we're looking for our next quarterback, that I could easily see them test running Russell Wilson. If it doesn't work well, they would try to bring back Justin Fields or feel confident they could bring him back and run it back with him next year. I guess the reason I started by saying they have not treated the quarterback position as a priority for a while now in terms of all the moves they've made. They didn't do a Green Bay with Jordan Love thing where they drafted the successor and they put up with the awkward times there for a while, is because they think that, hey, let's roll the ball out there to Justin Fields again. If it comes to that next year, if Russ doesn't work out, give him the ball back this year, and we'll try to win the way we've been trying to win.
So wait a minute then. You think that their quarterback for next year is on their roster right now?
I actually think it is.
What?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's probably Fields.
But that makes no sense to me, because you would then make the decision at the end of the year. We thought Russell Wilson was better than Justin Fields in season. And so then we're going to give the inferior quarterback the job the following year?
Yes.
That's really bad.
Well,
that's mind-bogglingly bad.
It's wild to me, though, that they would have formed a full-on judgment of Justin Fields 6 games into his tenure with the team. That'd be a pretty small sample size. You were deciding
I know, but if you look at like some of the, for example, what Dulac writes and what some of the people around the team are saying, it's this. Well, they thought he was a backup quarterback the entire time. He was a backup quarterback. Now the starting quarterback's healthy, so Fields is going back to the bench. The only reason why they signed him is because they needed a backup quarterback when Kenny threw a hissy fit. And so if you believe that narrative, then I don't fully believe that. I don't. But I don't think it's good for Justin Fields' long-term fortunes that right now they think Russell Wilson is better than him. Because what is Russell Wilson right now? Is he a top 20 quarterback in the NFL?
Nobody has any idea what Russell Wilson is.
But what was he last year?
Probably like the 17th to 19th best quarterback
okay,
in the league.
So that's what Justin Fields is getting benched for. When he's much younger and there's more, I would like to think, meat on the bone with him as a quarterback. Again, one of the rebuttals or retorts to that is, well, by now we know what he is as a passer. And he's never going to develop.
How do we know that, though?
Because he doesn't see defenses. It takes him too long to process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay,
those things.
Okay, then if that's how they feel about him, then they should. Then yeah, you thank your lucky stars you got to 4-2 with him, and you never think of him again unless you have to break the glass on him because Wilson is hurt or so bad that you just can't keep trotting him out there. I guess my point in all of this is you wanted to take a big picture approach today to start the show.
Yes.
Here's my big picture thought. Nothing that they have done this offseason is any different than anything they've done in the recent couple of years. They just are not treating the position like a priority. And doing that either means spending huge money on a guy in the rare case that a legitimate big-time quarterback hits free agency and is worth spending the money on, which hardly ever happens. People thought it would with Dak until it didn't. Or it means either packaging a couple of picks in a given year to move up from wherever you are in the draft to actually have access to a legitimate top 10 talent. Or sucking out loud on the field, kind of by design, so you have access to one of the absolute best.
Okay, so even though you are saying you think that the Steelers will settle on one of these guys and roll with them next year, it does sound to me like you think they are back to square one.
I don't think they've ever left square one. I don't think they've ever even tried to get off of square one.
Yeah, but you did say that Fields had impressed
Fields
you enough where you would have paid him.
He has interesting athletic traits, and I would have, at that point, paid him $30 million because we all know that the going rate for quarterbacks is wildly
Yes, but that's still starting quarterback money.
Low-end starting quarterback money.
Yeah, no, definitely, but that still was you had seen enough and thought you would see enough where he was worth being paid then, like a starting quarterback. And now 2 weeks later, he's getting benched.
Well, he's ultimately, in 2 weeks, he has played his two worst games, like definitely his worst half, the first half against Dallas, and then really scuffled through the air against, why am I blanking out on who they literally just played, Pony? My mind is starting
Raiders.
To melt. The Raiders, thank you. Just completely brain farted there. He hasn't played that much bad football, but they're clearly so enamored with the idea of putting Russ out there that they were going to pull the ripcord unless they were 6-0 or maybe 5-1. And I've rehashed that already. He isn't really the reason they have two losses in the end.
Donnie, do you feel like the Steelers are back to square one in quarterback purgatory with this Fields benching?
Yeah, probably. But I mean, I also think that Chris, when he says, I don't know how far along they really got from that point. I know you could say the same thing to me because Chris and I were the two guys that were ready to give Justin Fields money, but we're also not the ones that are actually doing it. I don't think they seem to believe that they are even off square one from where they were.
I guess my point here, I don't want to get lost in the shuffle. It's an interesting discussion to be had on all fronts. My main contention with this, or my main thesis statement, is you guys say they're back to square one. My big problem is that they haven't even appeared to try to get away from square one. Like, I think
they did revamp their entire quarterback room. They got rid of three guys who were not going to be their franchise quarterback. So that part of it I like. I like that they were rolling the dice with two guys that were making a total of $5 million
correct,
and they weren't
the
long time. Yeah, but like, I didn't want them to overspend on an average quarterback either.
So what do you want them to do, though, in the end? If you don't want them to overspend on an average quarterback, then what?
That right now they're in a messed up situation.
But I don't think that they feel uncomfortable. I think Mike,
how
especially,
could they not feel?
I think Mike and Art especially are like, we can win with average quarterback play because we'll do everything
else.
Hold
on a second. They have to feel uncomfortable because they're benching Fields.
Wait a minute. Hold on. If they had ever put Fields in as the starting quarterback on the depth chart and Mike had codified it by saying he's our starter and then they were going to Russell Wilson, that's one thing. They never deviated from the course of Russell Wilson is our starter.
But that gets back to my point about when you said you think Justin Fields is their starter next year. If they were never confident enough to do that with Fields while he was playing well, if Russell Wilson is their quarterback the rest of the year, they're just going to have a eureka light bulb moment like, yeah, this guy is good enough? No flipping way. There's a better chance they like Wilson enough to run him back next year and beyond in that situation.
Do you think they put unrealistic expectations on Fields through six games? Like to be apparently unimpressed with him?
I didn't think so while it was happening because I thought they set a low bar for him with what they were trying to do offensively. But now that he's losing his job because of it, yes, I do.
Then I'm perplexed because he hasn't really turned the ball over much. I know Kabali, who has been banging the Russell Wilson drum for 8 weeks now, talked about how lucky Fields has gotten that he doesn't have more turnovers. Fine. He asked Tomlin a question about that. Fine. The numbers are still the numbers. Do they matter or not? Do the fact that you're winning football games matter or not? I thought stats were...
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For losers.
One great thing about having an excellent defense is you do have some margin for error, right? Like you have the opportunity to say, we're going to go with a different quarterback and we think it's going to be better. Maybe they both play. I would consider playing Russell Wilson to be at least a curiosity from Mike Tomlin. And yes, Justin Fields has been good. But as he mentioned, is it championship level yet? Maybe not. And, you know, look, we'll see if Russell Wilson gets it there. But we will see, as Mike Tomlin said.
All right, how do we feel about the Steelers quarterback situation right now? Big picture. You think the answer for the future is on the roster? Tomlin pulling the plug on Fields, going with Russell Wilson. Are we in a better spot than we were before the season started? 412-928-9370. That's the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. At 222, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia today. Here is GP to start us off, not George Pickens. Hello, GP.
Hey, fellas. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a little theory on why they're putting Wilson in. I think
Before we get to the theory, do you feel good about it?
Yeah, I do, because I think we're going to get a draft pick for Wilson.
So they're only doing it to make a trade?
Correct.
And who are they trading him to?
Maybe Miami.
And what are they getting back?
Third or fourth rounder.
So you're potentially sacrificing games because you want to get a mid-round draft pick.
Yes, correct.
Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does, because they paid him, what, they're going to just leave him on the bench all for the whole year?
No, but I'm saying you'd potentially lose a game or two just to get back a third or fourth round pick.
For sure, yeah. Because they're not going anywhere this year. They're not going to go anywhere.
So why not trade T.J. Watt for two firsts?
Mm. Yeah, they could do that. But why wouldn't they package Wilson with Najee? What do you think about that theory?
Why not trade Tomlin? He's one of the most sought after coaches in the world. We've seen John Gruden traded before. Why not him next?
Because I wouldn't trade him for a warm six-pack.
Okay, thank you, GP. Let's keep.
Might have been drinking a warm six pack.
Let's keep the kids away from the phones here today, folks. Here's Todd next. Hello, Todd.
Hey guys, hey. I think the only way that the quarterback is on the roster for next year is if they find that Russell Wilson still has magic left in the bottle, and then giving him a couple year contract would fit in with the time they have left with the defensive players in their prime. I think Fields is exactly what they told us he is. I think after 3 years in Chicago and six games in Pittsburgh, he's a guy, obviously, that is dangerous with his legs, but not a passer. And I guess I would ask the question, big picture question, this. Isn't the ultimate goal to ascend to the top of the conference? And the way the Steelers have won going 4-2, does anybody realistically think they're competing with anybody in the top of the conference in the playoffs? I think the answer is no. So why not try and find out what your next option is?
Let me ask you this question, though. Let's say that there is a little bit of magic left in Russell Wilson. It is in there somewhere, okay? Like, it exists. Yeah. He's not completely shot. Do you believe that this offense, with these offensive players, with Mike Tomlin coaching, that they're going to be able to get that magic out of him?
Yeah, that I don't know, because I would agree that the track record is not there. But look what Flacco did with the Browns. Now, I know that the Browns had better offensive players, but that's also a franchise and coach that has kind of been, you know, not necessarily.
Okay, sure. So let's use that comparison. Let's say Russell Wilson does that here. He gets the Steelers to the playoffs. Then they get absolutely destroyed in the first round like Joe Flacco did. You'd sign him to an extension?
Not necessarily. But I wouldn't sign Fields either. So then,
right. So that gets me back to where I started the show. I think it's a bad, like, I think we saw encouraging signs from Fields 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now I think we're back to where we were before. Actually, worse than where we were before the season started.
What do you think their long-term plan for the position is, if they even have one?
I don't. Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. They don't have one.
Which is why I'll maintain my initial position here. I don't think they've ever tried to get off of square one. I think Kenny Pickett was a horribly misguided pick. In fact, I know he was. They were living in their fears as an organization. We might let the next great Pitt quarterback get away. No, you did not. Anyone could have told you he wasn't Dan Marino. Trubisky was spackle. Justin Fields, apparently, if they really believe he was mostly a backup, that's just trying to patch a roster hole. Russell Wilson's closer to 40 than not. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? There's no serious plan being put in place to say we are targeting either a young quarterback or a guy in a blockbuster trade. Not that anyone would ever trade their franchise quarterback, because most teams don't even have one, let alone two. There's no plan here.
I know, but I really don't blame them for how they handled this offseason to get us to these two quarterbacks. They finished with a good enough record and made the playoffs, where I don't – the Giants wanted to move up five spots to get one of those top three guys and couldn't. So how are we going to go the 20s and get Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or Caleb Williams?
Thought.
That wasn't going to happen. Do we give Kirk Cousins that deal that Atlanta did?
Here's another
he only
thought.
Signed there because that's where his wife's from.
Here's another thought. How many quarterbacks that you would consider big-time franchise-level guys are such – and they aren't in, like, lockstep or tied at the hip to a very good offensive mind? Stroud has Slowik, and I think Slowik's really good. The Lions could win a Super Bowl with Goff, who's been to one already. Ben Johnson's going to be a head coach.
I mean, I don't think Lamar Jackson's offense. I don't think Todd Monken's exactly, like, getting.
But you don't think they have a chance to win it. But, yes, he's elite as a player, and he's a unique unicorn type
guy.
Yes,
I don't think he's getting head coach looks.
Jaden Daniels is with Kingsbury, who I think is an OC, is very good. If he's not being tasked with head coach duties. So you see what I mean here. I could go through the whole list. Purdy's in the Shanahan offense. Reed and Mahomes, don't need to say anything there. Name another team that has a serious shot to win it right now. Minnesota, I don't know if I buy them. LaFleur and Jordan Love. Caleb Williams suddenly looks like he's the truth. He's got, what, Shane Waldron there? I'm just saying.
Like, I don't know if he has a huge reputation, but
right,
he could help Geno Smith become a good quarterback Seattle.
Here is my bottom line point. Not only have they not tried to get an elite talent for the position that didn't maybe already have baggage or like a book out on him, what he was capable of, they still made no effort whatsoever to surround that person, to put them in a system run by a high-end, quarterback-focused offensive mind. That is not what Arthur Smith is.
Kennedy!
PetFest 24, presented by Subaru's back. It's going to be October 27th, Rockwell Park, the East End. The event starts at 9:30, goes to 4. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for free tickets. For more info, go to 93.7thefan.com today. Penguins and Sabres at 7 o'clock tonight. The big story for this game is that Sidney Crosby is 1 point away from entering the top 10 scoring list as far as the 1,600-point club is concerned, to get to 1,600 in his career, while Evgeny Malkin is one goal shy of getting to 500 goals. So my question is, if Sidney Crosby assists on Evgeny Malkin's goal tonight, who gets the puck?
You're asking me or TK?
Well, Tyler Kennedy's on the hotline. We can get to him in a second, but how about you?
Malkin, 500 goals is a bigger round number milestone than 1,600 points for me.
But 1,600 is a bigger number.
Okay, 500 goals is still like a milestone goal that like I think stands out more. If it was the 2,000th point for Crosby, I think it's Crosby.
TK, who gets it?
Knowing those two, I bet you they cut the puck in half. To be honest, like
that would be awesome.
Like it's like, how can you compare one from the other? You know what I mean? Like usually you have 1,600 points, like you probably have 500 goals, you know, or vice versa. But yeah, knowing those two, I can see it, them cutting the puck in half and having a pitcher and making a thing. Both guys are such great guys. I don't think they would, you know, give it to one or the other.
I think Crosby, if anything, would give it to Malkin because we know he lets Malkin skate out last, and Gino loves that part about being the last guy out of the tunnel. If it was 2,000 points, I'd tell Crosby to take it, but I think it would be Malkin for me. TK,
yeah,
let me ask
Gino
you
Gino has too much respect for him. Gino
That's
has
true.
Too much respect, you know, especially now. You know, I think Gino has, you know, again, a guy that he's, you know, looked up to, been with for so long, like maybe at the beginning, but now with, like, the bond they've had over, you know, 19 seasons. Like, that's pretty crazy, you know, so.
Let me ask you this. What do you like the most? This is four games in, and it seems clear. The Penguins, if they score six goals, they win. If they don't score six goals, then it's trouble for them. What is one thing you've liked a lot so far through four games with a 2-2 start? One thing that you have really not liked from them so far through this first four games?
The one thing I've really, really liked, and it was kind of a surprise for me, was their bottom six production. You know, they have guys that are scoring in the fourth line. Third line is playing great. They have a great rhythm on the third line. I think Kevin Hayes got two goals in four games as a fourth line guy. Like, talk about, like, filling a need from last year. So that was a big, nice surprise that Kyle Dubas filled in the offseason. One that I'm still, you know, not sure about is the goaltending situation, especially with, like, Ned coming back. Like, what are they going to do? Has Blomqvist, like, showed enough to, like, take a spot from one of those guys? I don't know, but that's the one thing that, like, you know, going forward, that it's like, no, we need to secure who our goalie is or who our two goalies are this year.
Tyler, with Malkin and Sid in position to get these milestone goals and points tonight, I'm going to give you an activity, and you tell me if you were picking a teammate, whether you want Gino or Sid. Bowling.
Okay.
Yes, who would you pick for bowling?
Yeah, you're going to the lanes for a couple beers and a couple frames.
Do you want Malkin or do you want Sid on your team?
Ooh, that depends what year, because Sid, Gino's always been a beauty. Like, he's always been, like, Gino is, like, what you see is what you get, and he is, like, awesome to be around. And I feel like at the beginning when Sid was younger, there was just so many eyes on him, so much pressure that he couldn't really let loose, you know. But I know, like, being out with Sid, like, a little bit later in his career, this guy knows how to let loose a little bit and have fun and stuff. But overall, I'd probably say Gino, because Gino is Gino.
All right, who would give you a better chance to take some skins off people on the golf course, Sid or Gino?
Sid.
How about a game of cards? Who do you want as your partner, Sid or Gino?
Gino.
How about a game of darts?
Sid.
Pool.
Gino.
2-on-2 basketball.
Sid.
Oh.
Who was the guy? Who was the dude on some of those Penguins teams throwing down wild dunks? Bortuzzo was just a ridiculous
player. Well, he's a really tall guy. He's like 6'6". 6'5", 6'6".
Big dude.
Yeah.
Even Phil Kessel, I heard, was like unreal at basketball. Like he can dunk at like 5'10".
No, yeah. Get out of here, dude. You're messing with us.
I'm telling you.
Tony, how much money would you pay for an authentic video of Phil Kessel dunking a basketball in a 10-foot hoop?
I'd pay probably $50 for it.
That's what makes him like a freak. Like we all talk about Sid being a freak and Malkin. I heard like with Phil Kessel, with like his body and what he does, it's like a miracle. And they just said like at the back of UPMC at Lemieux Center, they have a basketball net, and like he smokes anyone. He'll beat anyone one-on-one.
While literally probably smoking a cigarette, knowing him.
Yeah, having a Diet Coke, a little dog on the side.
Did people ever look at him and say, if only you got yourself into like peak physical condition, think of what you could have been? Or did people almost feel like this is the only way he was ever going to be what he became? Like, you got to let Phil do Phil and just not get in the way.
That's what I think. I think whatever he's eating, it's greasing his muscles or whatever, his bones, his hips, whatever. But again, I don't know. He's so different, you know? And I remember, this is a hilarious story. I went and helped Jay Caulfield run a tune-up skate before like the training camp. So all the guys are in running skates and me and Jay are running like, you know, just a regular hard skate for them, you know? And like everyone's trying so hard. Phil comes out and he is just like throwing pucks around, helmet undone, not paying attention, just doing whatever he wants. And then when the drill start, he was like the best guy on the ice. And we're like, this guy, he's so different. You know what I mean? Like Sid and Gino and all those guys are going so hard, paying attention. And literally you look down the ice and Phil Kessel's like playing like one-on-one with the goalie and be like, all right, what are we doing? You know? And then he's like the best guy. It's crazy.
Penguins and Sabres tonight, 7:00 TNT. So that means TK is the night off from Pittsburgh Sportsnet. And at 2-2, no clarity yet on who's going to win the bet between us, $1,000 bet on the Penguins to make the playoffs. Tyler, we'll talk again next week. Thank you, man.
All right. Thanks, boys. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.